Blog Talk Radio. for allowing us to see another Shabbat, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly, unknowingly. Father, we ask that you cleanse us by the blood of your Son, Yahushua. And we always stay within your guidelines, within your parameters, Father, and within your grace. Father, when we go to the left or to the right, Father, we ask that you chastise us in another time, that you bring us back to your direction, Father. Father, we ask that you look after the sick, the poor, those who are hurt physically, mentally, spiritually, Father, that you heal them and comfort them, Father, and that you strengthen them by your Spirit to get through any obstacle that they are having problems with, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to look after all of our friends, that you heal them, Father. Father, we ask that you bring forth your Spirit, bring forth your knowledge of this and your understanding, all of your soul, that we receive it, and that we continue to grow.
Help to bring us from turn us to end. Father, give us the strength to give us the strength to understand where we go right, left, and allow us, Father, to Yahweh, our mighty one from the beginning of earth, who has chosen good prophets and that were other blessed be Yahweh, Moshe, servant. About his nation, prophet, and righteous. Amen. Oh, bye.
How about now? Okay. I think something's the matter with my jack. And
yeah.
All right, one second. Shalom, fam. Hope everyone had a good week. Today we're going to talk about the patriarchs and what they call the, it's really hard for me to pronounce this word, antediluvial, which are the patriarchs that were before the flood. All right. But before we get into that, in case y'all haven't noticed, I've been missing for a little bit. Been missing for a little bit. So we're gonna start off there because you know they're having a little issues and everything, and you know, Abba talks to you. At one point it was really hard for me to hear him. So we're going to start off in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. So starting in verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not to be given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of Elohim? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falleth into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good rapport of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. These are some of the qualifications of being one who works for the Most High. This is his work requirements, so to speak. When you're filling out your resume and you're looking for a job, you send in your resume, job looks at your work experience. And these are his requirements to work for him. One of the things that he says is that you have to be blameless, that you can't have fault with him. So we're going to couple that with this one, Romans 10:10. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So you couple those two together, and this is how you get blameless. You confess. So when you confess your wrongs or confess when you went astray, the Most High sees that, and he looks at that, okay, you're learning. I'm not going to hold all this stuff against you, because now confession can actually help somebody. When you're in this position, your job, if we were kept on reading in Timothy, is the, in the book of Romans, talks about how we're supposed to edify one another. And we do that by confessing. Now, do we have to stand up here and say every fault to the congregation? No, we don't. But we should speak to somebody about when we went wrong. Like, there's things that I told Yariel, nobody else knows. There's things that I told Mariel and Gakel and all the brothers that I only talk to them about, and the whole congregation don't know. So confession is made. And as long as you hold stuff in, it's not helping anybody, and sure enough, ain't helping you. All right? So Thursday night, it's raining, and I'm walking home. And I'm talking about this Thursday that just passed. It's raining, I'm walking home, talking to Abba. And he put a bunch of stuff on my mind and everything. One of the things I told him, I said, "Father, I really hate this part of the job, working for you, that I have to tell people my faults and tell people that where I messed up and this, that, and another. I really hate that. But if that's what you want me to do," and it was raining, it wasn't raining hard at the time, I said, "if that's what you want me to do, I guess I got to do it." Then all of a sudden it started raining harder. And I took that as, yeah, that's what he want me to do. You know, so when we came back from Sukkot, the next day was the eighth day, and I called my brother up, told him that I couldn't make it, I was unclean. Well, what had happened was, an old friend called me and propositioned me, and nothing happened, but it was there, a seed was planted in my mind. Because I got into a conversation that I shouldn't have got into. I should have got out of. And I was thinking about it. It was just on my mind. I'm not going to say that I didn't want to do it, because I did want to do it. And that was the problem. So that thought was there. And it stayed there. And it stayed there. And that's what my mind was on. It was churning and churning. And that's what Satan wanted to do. So it churned, and I was thinking about it all night. Wake up the next morning, I'm unclean, because that thought was there. I dreamt about it and this, that, and another. All right, one strike against me. At the same time, I had to go speak to my son. That's why I wasn't here Shabbat, because my son got into a little thing with the teacher where he put his hands on the teacher. So, you know, he didn't physically punch him or anything like that, but he was doing something wrong, and the teacher went to call his mother, and he went and he grabbed the teacher's hands. Said, "No, don't call him." And that's something that he can't do, because you can't physically put your hands on the teacher. That's something that he needs to understand. So I had to go and take care of this thing Shabbat, and that's why I wasn't here Shabbat. So I had to go. And lo and behold, on Shabbat, one of the things that Yaakov was talking about was fornication. So the words say, he who looks upon a woman, when you look upon that woman, even though you ain't touching, you already committed fornication. And it's not a surprise to me that came up. So I'm sitting up here listening to it, and it's like, wow. And Abba again. See, all about, and see, one of the things that he wants, that he really impressed on me, is that, yeah, we together, but each one, our individual walk is what's really important. It's because he's speaking to Israel, but he's speaking directly to each member of Israel.
Right.
You know, when he gave these things, he said, whatever was written aforetime was written for your learning, not everybody. It's what everybody's learning, but individually speaking, what are you getting from these things that are written aforetime? Because one of the things that, because he put some questions on my mind, like, why is the language the way it is? Why did he develop this language, the Hebrew language? Why is it alive? You know, why did he decide to speak in the manner that he speaks to us? You know, when he made this Hebrew language, everything is alive, it's flowing, it's moving, because it's about life.
Right.
When we look into this word, the word literally, not only is this a guideline to how to interact with him, but this is a guideline to how to live your life.
Right.
You know, every situation that you could go through, and what you have to do is go within this book, find your situation, go within this book, and apply the knowledge that's in this book to your situation, and you'll get out of it. You know, he shows you where not to go, and he shows you where to go. He said, this is your wisdom up in front of everybody. And when people see you applying this knowledge, then they'll be like, well, what a great nation this is. You know, Proverbs tells us, when we do the things of the Torah, we listen to that law, we'll gain favor with God and men. So it's an individual thing, you know, and that's something that he really wants to impress upon me, you know, that he's really impressing upon me. You know, thing when Yahushua gave those parables, you know, about the seed and the sower, and when he threw that seed everywhere. And he talks about the state of the mind. You know, sometimes the ravens catch it before it plants, and sometimes and we look at that and we think it's just the world, but we never kind of apply that to ourselves. That's the state of our mind, and our mind gets in those states at different times. Sometimes the cares of the world is going to choke us out. It's going to choke the world out. Sometimes we do choose the cares of the world. And it don't have to be money. It could be whatever's in this world, whatever your desire is.
Right.
And it'll choke the word out. Sometimes Hasatan will take those thoughts away from you. You know, and that's what he showed me. Because I wasn't supposed to talk about this. Abba gave me something else to talk about, and those thoughts got taken away. And I pray, I said, Abba, bring it back to me. Bring it back to me. But it wasn't for that. It was for him to upgrade my thinking to this. You know, everything has a purpose. None of this stuff that we go through is just because, you know. So when we're going through these different things, I'm saying all that to say this. Our walk is what we should focus on. Our salvation, you know, your particular, when I say I mean your particular salvation, where you stand with
right.
the Most High, is what your main focus should be. If you see a brother caught in a fault, help that brother. But your salvation is your main focus.
Amen.
You know, because Abba is trying to save you, and that's something that we should have a little bit more importance on, so to speak. You know, so now that the hard part's done. Because like I said, it was hard sitting up there, and I'm not at service, but I was still smacking you in the mouth. You're not there in the presence of the Most High, but he's still smacking you in the mouth because you hear his word and you know you're guilty. So my brother sent out a text, R.L. sent out the text the next day. I stood before the judge and I'm guilty. Yep.
Right.
Yep. Sure was. I definitely agree with you, because I got smacked too. My shin got kicked. All that stuff. I'm with you. I'm bruised up. I'm beat up. I understand. I feel you. You know. But at the same time, he say, I hurt, but I heal too. So that's something we can move forward from, because that's what he really wants.
Amen.
I expose you. Now, cover yourself up. Don't let that shame overtake you. Just get back to being in line with me, you know, because that's the only reason these things happen. If I could find it, it says all things work for the good of those who are called by Yah. All this stuff, the bad times, the good times, all of it. We can't just learn from the good times. We have to learn from the bad times also. It's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That's what we're supposed to be gaining knowledge from. So, any questions or comments about anything? All right. So, now we're going to talk about these patriarchs, the ones who were before the flood, from Adam to Noach. And we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read chapter 11. And it reads, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So this is how we get a good report. The same way the elders got a good report, we want that good report with the Most High also. All right? Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yah, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Talking about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, or Bereshit Bara Elohim Et. Well, I forgot the rest. Genesis 1:1. These things came forth, and we understand it takes faith to understand that. You know, this isn't something that no man can prove. Yah's word at it, and he will prove it. All right? Now, how he proved it to me is by the other things within his word that are true, that man didn't grasp. Like when he talks about the circle of the earth, the dome of the earth, as his word, or as he talks about the circuit of the sun actually moving, or he talks about how rain it forms up in a cloud, wells up, and then pours over. Because no matter how hot it get, it don't rain all the time. So it's not from just the evaporation of water. Because water evaporates constantly, you know. So rain, he causes it to rain. Because the sun is constant, the earth is 70% water. So water is constantly evaporating. But it don't rain all the time. It don't rain even in the hottest parts of the world. They have a rainy season, they have a dry season. So, and it's still hot. Water's still evaporating. So it's not something that man can grasp. This isn't something that he can put together, this, that, and another. Abba explains these things, and it takes faith for us to understand and stand on that word. All right? He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yah, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered up unto Elohim a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Elohim testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Elohim had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased Elohim. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, when we read this verse, if we don't believe, if we don't have faith in the Mighty One, it's like you're saying God don't even exist. Mm-hmm. When we don't believe what he put out there, you're saying that God doesn't exist, literally, because that's what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Elohim must believe that he is, he exists. So when you don't believe his word, you're literally saying God don't exist. Right? Amen. He says, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is Elohim. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore Elohim is not ashamed to be called their Mighty One, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that Elohim was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Elohim than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Mashiach greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, and as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed around 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So all the things that these men went through, they got a good report. Why? They were faithful. They were obedient. So we're going to finish this last verse. Elohim having providing some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So all the things that we read about our forefathers, because we're only talking about patriarchs before the flood, but all those men that we read about, all patriarchs, they were fathers that helped bring us forth. You know, even he's a patriarch, you know, because the work that he was commissioned to do is some of the work that we stand on now. You know, he didn't deviate from the plan, you know, but a lot of people wouldn't think of him like that, you know, because there's so much focus on just the beginnings. But all these brothers, when we read about them, when we read about their stories and this, that, and another, and we learn from the wisdom of them, you know, it's something that we need to apply to our lives and our different situations, our different struggles. You know, but all of them had faith. You know, we read about when Israel was had all these issues with the Assyrians, and they were trying to lower the faith of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah turned his face to the Most High. He didn't give up. You know, he kept his faith in the Most High, even though you had the Assyrians mocking him and telling him, look, what's your God going to do that all these other gods didn't do? What about the God of these people and the God of these people and the God? Haven't we crushed them all? It didn't deter Hezekiah's faith. He kept fighting, you know, and that's how it is. That's how we keep that good report, get that good report through the hard times. And sometimes when we mess up, that's what the brothers are for, and that's what the sisters are for. Confess, tell, and get back right back into the fight, you know. So the faith of the men, and we're going to start with Adam. And the way Abba gave me this, Genesis chapter 5, we're going to start it with. Adam was back in, we all know the story. Yahweh made Adam. Adam was made in Yahweh's likeness. Got kicked out the garden, started having kids. And now everybody that Adam's making is coming in Adam's likeness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was reading this, and when we look, when I looked at the different definitions for these names in his generation, it kind of points to Mashiach. So we're going to look at just, we're going to look at the names. I'm sorry, Aki.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis chapter 5, starting verse 1. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. So we know Adam's name, we start from him, means to be ruddy or red. It also means man. All these people. Oh man, I got the worst handwriting. Got the worst handwriting. So all these people are coming in his likeness. It says Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, Seth's name means to put or to substitute or to place. And verse 6, Seth lived 105 years and begat Enosh. Now, Enosh means mortal. It also means man, but it says mortal. Now, do anybody know what mortal means? Literally. There you go. Mortal means, literally means the ability to die. In verse, it says, Enosh lived 90 years and beget Cain or Canaan, which means fixed or it also means, it says, from a nest, which is fixed in a place. In verse 12, it says, Cain lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel, which means, it says, praise of God, but praise of El. But when we look at that, you have two words, and one of the things we learned about that Hebrew language, what they did was they put took the word halal, which was it's the hey lamet lamet, lamet, it's the lamet, like that, right? Or is it upside down?
Yeah,
upside down. And they put it was like this, all the way. Hey lamet lamet. And they put a mem in front of it, which took the praise from, took the word praise and turned it to a place of praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the L part. Then, in verse 15, Mahalalel lived 60 years and 5 years and beget, it says, Jared, but it's Yared, which means descent or to go down. Verse 18 says, Jared lived 160 years. In 162 years. And he begat Enoch. Enoch names or Hanok, which means initiated. It also means to train or to narrow, discipline. It says properly to narrow, rigorously to initiate a discipline. And what was what Abba gave me is like, I'm a big guy. So let's say I start exercising. I'm disciplining my body, but it's narrow because I'm training my body to get stronger and it's tightening itself up, so to speak. You know, you're automatically going to trim the fat. No pun intended. But that's what happens. You know, when you trim the fat away, let's say you got a budget and you have to narrow your budget down. You have to be disciplined in your spending. So what you're going to do is take away all the excess. You know, that's what you're doing. And your budget becomes narrow. All right? That was Enoch or Hanok. Now, in verse 21, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, Methuselah's name means, it says man of the dark, right? The way his name is, it's actually a compound name. So you have the meth or moth, which is the mem and the tav. His name is spelled, let me get that. Actually, let me do it the other way. Might be easier. Looks like that. Mem. Tav. Lamet and Chet. Now that's a Lamet. I think I made it wrong. That's a Shin. But if you have Men, Tav, Wav, Shin, Lamet, Chet. All right. This part means man. This is the other part of his name, which they defined as dark, but this word is lock, which means says a spear or a missile, properly a branch, right? So when you're talking about this, it says it could be man of the branch, but we also know that the word shalak means to send out. That name could be any of them. All right, everybody following so far?
Hey.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me write it up again. My mistake. No, I was too quick. I looked one way, didn't look the other way. I could have got hit by a car. Verse 25. Methuselah brings forth a son. It says, Methuselah lived in 180. 7 years and begat Lamech. So Lamech name means powerful. Lamech's name is spelled this way. Lamet. Mem, it's the final, I think that's the kaf, the final kuf. I always get those two confused. It's the kuf, I think. Help me out. Is it the kuf or the kaf?
No, you're right.
All right, kaf. All right. So, Lamech Mem Kaf. That's how you spell Lamech's name. But we reverse these two and make it Mem Lamech Kaf. Now you have Melech, which means king. All right? So, that's sort of like a play on it, sort of like how they did with the 182 years and begat a son. And he calls his son Noach, which means rest. And he called his son, his name Noach, saying, "This shall comfort, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil to our hands, because of the ground which Yahweh hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah began Shem. He brought forth Shem. We know that name means name. Ham, which meant hot. And Japheth, which means to enlarge. Oops. So, when we look at it from where it's at,
go ahead. Right? His job was to come. He said, "I'm going to go. I'm going to make a place." He said that in the flesh. For this body, the place that he was preparing was us. We are the place. God was his seat. When we get to Hanok, which means discipline, right? Out of all the men that was mentioned, he was the only one that talked about having faith. Methuselah, which was the man sent out, he lived longer than him. But they did not mention him. Not that he did. But why was Hanok? Does these other men walk with the Lord? Adam literally walked. He was in the garden. But they don't talk about Adam. But no, the one who was distant, the one who was initiated, that's what the one started with. Literally, started walking with him. When you talk about, it says, when you get to Noah, why is this, why they go into all this dissertation about Noah too? Don't talk about the rest of it. It says, Noah, he received this word from the Most High, and by faith, he built that ark of faith. So it gets to certain people within the line of Abraham, within the line of Adam and his likeness. Everybody's not going to have faith. But when you look at it, when you start to talk about these mortal men, why is it now to have the ability to die? Why didn't Adam have it? Somebody else was supposed to take it. So somebody took it. If Adam would have obeyed, Adam would have never died. Would have never died. But him, his wife, being in deception, like the word says, Adam went with him. The ground was cursed because of Adam. The ground was cursed because Adam was already flat. All right? So the word says this. When we got to one that says blessing and curses can't come out, right? But when we talk about eventually it gets to a part where it says, "I can't curse for Yahweh's blessing," right? Adam was blessed. It literally says that when he was made, he blessed Adam. So when they came time for him to curse, he got cursed multiple times. But when it got to Adam, it says, "Curse is wrong for your sin." watching. Adam was already dead. He's not going to search for himself. He's going to be alive. He's got to go back on his word. Already in the sex. Right? The substitution was already going to be. So somebody had to become a man to take the place of a man. It got fixed. You know, it wasn't going to, it wasn't going to change. But in the process, all these other things were going to happen. A place for the praise of the Most High was going to happen. So now we don't have to sacrifice animals. All these things are within us. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to do. That's where all these things were done for us. Someone gets initiated, then they get sent out. You know? What did the Most High do? Just a man. Well, stuff came to make up this planet. For one, I got legal to offer. I got that. Because I am a king. You know? I am power. And the rest. Come. Give me your power. Take on my yoke. Like, not to mention that. Try to get that.
Blessed be you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed be Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of our son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Father, we ask that you continue to open our minds and open our hearts, Father, as we continue to think about your word, Father. We ask, Father, that you open up our brother Shabbael's mind, and that you put your words in his mouth, and that he edifies us, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to show us your kindness, your loving kindness, Father, for our sins. We ask, Father, that we continue to grow with you, continue to become one with you, Father, that we get closer to you day by day, Father. Father, we ask that you continue continue to bless all those who have led this day all around the world, that you unify us, bring us closer, that we all agree upon your word, Father, and that we all speak the same thing, do the same thing, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to just be our Father and provide for us, look after us. When we go to the right and to the left, Father, continue to chastise us and just keep us as the apple of your eye. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Good.